And welcome this morning. Spring is going to be closer than it's been, and aren't we happy about that? But anyway, we want to welcome everyone here to Central this morning. I've seen several visitors, and we extend a hearty welcome to you. And those that are watching us online, thank you for being with us as well. I'm going to read a short verse of scripture, and then I'm going to turn the song leading over to Brother Steve Allen. From Psalm 28, verse 7, for our instruction. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. Thank you very much. Brother Allen.
We're starting number 470. 470. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin.
517. 517. Oh,
what a wonderful, wonderful day, day that I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, my tender, compassionate friend, He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy,
stand for this next song, 647. After this, we'll have our opening prayer. Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on, strong in the strength which God supplies. Strong in the strength which God supplies through His beloved Son. Strong in the Lord of hosts and in His mighty power, who in the strength of Jesus trusts, who strength of Jesus, trust is more than conqueror. Stand then in his great might, with all his strength endued, but take to arm you for the fight. But take to arm you for the fight, the panoply of God. Leave no unguarded place, no weakness of the soul. Take every virtue, every grace, and fortify the whole, that having all things done and all your conflicts past, you may overcome through Christ alone. You alone and stand entire at last.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you. We petition you through this gift of prayer, the prayer that you blessed us with. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you have your blessings upon the sick of our congregation of the world. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd restore their health, that be your will. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon those who have lost loved ones, that you would comfort them. Heavenly Father, there's so many in this country right now that are needing you, that they're needing some, their faith strengthened for those that are affected by the flooding. Pray that your hand would be with them, that the supplies they need would be granted to them, and their lives could continue. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the church here that you've given us, that through that strength that helps us get through our needs. And we're thankful for the elders, the deacons you've blessed us with, the ministers you've blessed this congregation with. And Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your Son, that through him his precious blood was shed, that we could have redemption when we fall short in your eyes. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll be with Brother Tim as he goes through the lesson, that he'll have a ready recollection of what he's prepared. And if there be any here, Heavenly Father, that are not Christians, that this will be the day that your word will soften their heart and they'll make the greatest decision of their life. In your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right, this next song is not in our songbook, but this is one we sang a lot when I was young growing up. Many of you probably know it. If you're an alto and this song is not in your top five favorite songs, you need to do some soul searching. In the Bible,
I'm
68. After this, we'll have our scripture reading and lesson, and a psalm of encouragement will be God is calling the prodigal.
Children's story time, children's training class. You'd like to make your way that way. This morning's scripture reading will be in Proverbs chapter 6. Excuse me. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 23 through 29. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her body within your heart, nor let her lure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is seduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon the precious life. Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not get burned?
Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not get seared? So is he who goes into his wife's neighbor. Whoever touches her should not be innocent.
What we are experiencing right now could be called Sunday Christianity. And it's good. It's wonderful to gather together with many others, or a few others, whatever the case may be, and just share your heart and your joy and our devotion to the Lord. This is Sunday Christianity. But let me tell you, yesterday, Saturday Christianity was powerful. Saturday Christianity. You probably saw our appeal for helpers to come out yesterday morning to load a couple of trailers with supplies that were going to be sent to Kentucky for flood victims. And it went beyond anything I could have hoped for. There were 30 or 40, I didn't count how many were here, but the job went very quickly, let's just say it that way. And to all of you that turned out to help, that was great. And that was faith in action. And I might add that a number of our Hispanic brethren turned out for that as well. Brother Hugo had passed along the word, and they were there just as long, right there with us. And they knew that the need was great, and so there they were helping us as well. And then Andrew Easterling and Dan Bowman and his brother and I took the supplies up to Kentucky. And at the Main Street Church of Christ in Pikeville, Kentucky, there was probably 60 or 70 of their brethren there. A lot of men were ready to unload and load goods. A lot of women were helping people go through and find things that they needed. And many were cooking and preparing food for those that were working. And it was just wonderful to see faith in action again. And then we drove down the road to the Shelby Valley Church of Christ and gave them some water that we had on the trailer. And there again, we had a group of 30 or so busy putting things in cars that were driving up. The needs are great because of the flooding up there in Kentucky, and Christians are responding. You have responded in a big way, both beginning last September, and even now you're helping out, and the needs are still great. So stay tuned. We'll be asking other things of you to help out with, no doubt. But praise God for his power and the way it changes lives. But it's good to be together and give God the praise, because that's the reason people do go all out to help their neighbors when trouble comes, is because of the goodness of our God. And he is worthy of our praise, and it's so good for us to gather together. We're glad that you are here. Some of you are visiting with us. We're very glad you've come our way. And those of you online, we're happy that you've tuned in or watching. And it's just good to be together like this. And praise God for all that he has done for us. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. We're going to finish our short series of lessons on the book of Job. And tonight we're going to talk about Job bowing before God. So come out and join us for that. It is a powerful study. We all suffer at times, and these lessons can help us greatly when that happens. Also, after we dismiss today, and you'll hear more about this, our visitation program kicks off. And if you're interested in helping out with making a visit, making a phone call, writing a card, or something like that, then go downstairs right after we dismiss, and Nick Cunningham will be there to help you figure out what you need to do. And this is going to make a difference, I think. So we're anxious for that to get rolling. But let's get our Bibles out now. Let's get into the Word of God and find things that will help us as we live our lives. The passage that Tom read for us just a few moments ago from Proverbs 6, in verses 27 and 28, he talked about fire. And did you notice the danger that was mentioned there? Clothes can catch on fire. You can scorch your feet walking on hot coals. Did you hear that? So maybe what we ought to do is get in touch with our legislators and say, we need to outlaw fire. I mean, look at all the damage that happens. Sometimes homes are burned down. Bad things come. But that would be a little bit of an overreaction, wouldn't it? I mean, no doubt, fire can cause great damage. But as long as you respect the boundaries of fire, then you've got something to cook your food with, you've got something to heat your home with. In many places on earth, you've got lighting at night when the world goes dark. I mean, there's so many benefits to fire, that would be a great overreaction to say, let's just outlaw fire entirely. We would really be in a fix if that were the case. Well, the idea is that God has given us things that are very beneficial. And as long as we respect their boundaries, then good is going to come. We've talked in the last couple of weeks about those. We've talked about love and what a garden love is, what a blessing it is. But if we don't respect the boundaries that God has given us, then we get into very dangerous territory. We do great damage to one another. We've got to respect the boundaries. And last week, we talked about another of those gifts that God has given us, anger. Anger is a blessing when we use it the way God has told us to use it. It energizes us to do what needs to be done, to right some kind of wrong, perhaps. But when we don't respect the boundaries, then we're causing damage to ourselves as well as to others. Well, today let's talk about one more of those gifts that God has given us, and that is the idea of fear. Fear is a God-given gift. And you may think, wow, that's a very strange thing to say, but I'm going to show you from the Word of God that is the truth. But at the same time, we've got to respect the boundaries that God has given us and not let it overtake us. In fact, it can even quench our faith if we don't respect the boundaries that God has given us. So let's talk about fear's boundaries as we get into the lesson for today. Now, first of all, fear as a gift from God. Let's use this illustration to get our minds in that direction. We're driving down the road and we're kind of in a hurry. And as we approach a railroad crossing, sure enough, the lights begin going, you know, you hear that ding, 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 ding. And you see these gates closing to keep you from going across the road where the railroad crosses. And you're thinking, man, I am in a hurry. I've got to get somewhere. And I think I can drive my car between the gates, you know, if I maneuver it just right. Or if I get my speed up, I can actually just bust through those gates maybe. But you know, those gates are there for our protection. That freight train that is barreling down the tracks is a lot bigger than the car you're driving. And it can do a whole lot of damage, might even take your life. And so let's recognize that railroad crossing as a gift. It is a warning that says, "Be, you know, keep your distance. This train can do a lot of damage. Just stay back." Well, in the same way, fear will keep us from hazardous situations. Fear will keep us from hazardous situations. Let's look again at Proverbs 6 and think about the passage that Tom read, where the wise man says, "Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched?" And what was his point? Was he trying to teach us about fire? No, that's pretty much something we learn on our own. But then he goes on to say, somebody that thinks they can get away with going to another man's wife, to committing adultery, that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to be burned. You're going to be suffering because of what you have done. And so the fear, you know, my flesh may say, wow, there's somebody I'd really like to spend some time with. And yet the boundary says, keep your distance. Because there's a lot of damage that can be done if you cross this boundary. Well, there's other passages that make this clear, and just life in general. For example, if you're looking at, maybe we've already passed at the fella standing on the edge of the cliff. And the idea is, fear will keep us from getting too close. Now, close for me is like 5 feet away. I'm not going to get closer than that. For you, it might be 5 inches. We all have different boundaries, I guess, on that. But that fear of heights is a very beneficial fear to have, as long as it doesn't overpower us. Or sometimes it's the fear of eating mushrooms that we find out in the wild. Have you ever been tempted to, well, that looks yummy. But then you remember, some of these can kill you. There is a fear there, and so let's keep our distance. Or maybe it's while you're out hiking and you hear there are bears in the area. Well, let's be on high alert, because you don't want to cross paths with a mother bear with her cubs. Fear is actually a healthy emotion. It keeps us from hazardous situations. Well, let's go back to the book of Proverbs again. Go to Proverbs 31 and verse 21. And I want to show you how fear can be a very blessing, a great blessing. And you may think at first, well, wait, that's not what this says. Proverbs 31, verse 21, talking about that godly woman, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. And you say, well, wait, that says she's not afraid. She's not afraid because she is afraid. She is afraid. Now, she knows if I don't get on the ball and prepare adequate clothing for my family, then when snow comes, they're going to be hurting. We're all going to be hurting. And it is because of that fear of being it's that fear of not being properly clothed that motivates her to get ready. And then once she is ready, she is not afraid of the cold or the snow. Or look at another passage. Go to Numbers chapter 12 and verse 8. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 8. Here we have Moses' sister and brother leading somewhat of a rebellion. It's not reached that point yet, but they're spreading dissent. They're saying, you know, what gives him this power to be the big guy? You know, I mean, we're just as smart as he is. We're just as equipped as he is. We're older than he is. And yet God did not look on that favorably. Here's what God says in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 8. With him, he's talking about Moses. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly and not in riddles, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? You see, there's where fear would have been good. It would have kept them from criticizing the Lord's anointed one. And so God is saying, because you were not afraid, I'm very displeased with you. In fact, Miriam was punished on that occasion. Apparently, she was the one that really got this going. But God says, you should have been afraid. That was an area you should not have gone to, and yet you were not afraid. Fear would have been a good thing for you. It would have kept you from getting into trouble. And then last week we talked about King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 16. Now, up to this point, everything we've read about Uzziah is good. He is a God-fearing man. He wants to do the will of God. But now he's reached a point where pride has taken over. Here's what it says, 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16. When he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. For he was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. And we read last week where the priests confronted him. They said, you should not be in here. You are not a Levite. You are not a priest. You have no business being in here. And he got angry. And about that moment, leprosy broke out on his forehead. And he lived as a leper for the rest of his days. Now again, that would have been a good place for fear to have kept him from doing what he should not have done. But apparently his pride was stronger than his fear, and he thought, well, I'm the king, I can do what I want, but he's not greater than God. And so fear would have kept him away from going where he should not have gone. And then we find these words in Jeremiah chapter 5. Look with me at that passage. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. And if you remember the timing of the prophet Jeremiah, things are getting really close to the destruction of Jerusalem. Prophet after prophet has been to Judah, to Israel. Israel's already gone now. Assyria's taking care of them. And still Judah has not learned their lesson. And so now God says this in Jeremiah chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. Jeremiah 5, beginning in verse 22. Do you not fear me, declares the Lord? Do you not tremble before me? I place the sand as a boundary for the sea, a perpetual barrier that it cannot pass. Though the waves toss, they cannot prevail. Though they roar, they cannot pass over it. But this people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. They have turned aside and gone away. They do not say in their hearts, let us fear the Lord our God, who gives the rain in its season, the autumn rain and the spring rain, and keeps for us the weeks appointed for the harvest. And you see what God is saying there? My people don't fear me. And he used that illustration of the boundary that he placed for the waves of the sea. He said, this is as far as you go and no farther. And he says, yet my people haven't learned that. My people have not respected the boundaries I've given them, and they've gone way beyond what I ever told them to do and did not stop where I told them to stop. And as a result, his people were going to be punished very severely. So is fear a good thing? Well, just one more verse ought to prove it if you're still wondering. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. And here's what we find there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. So you begin with fearing God. And that doesn't mean we're terrified by him as long as we're in a good relationship with him. But we know what happens if we cross the boundaries. We know he will not hold us guiltless if we deliberately sin and do what he's told us not to do or not do what he's told us to do. And so we fear the Lord. That's wisdom. And so, yeah, fear, is a God-given gift. But fear can also become a destructive fire. Fear can become a destructive fire if we don't recognize the boundaries, if we don't honor the Lord as we should. Revelation 21, verse 8. Revelation 21 and verse 8. Now we're talking about fire in this passage. This is a scene that we don't enjoy hearing about, but it is true. There is a place called hell. And that's what this is talking about. Revelation 21 and verse 8, and John says this, as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. That's an awful thought. A fire that does not go out. A place where sinful people are cast for eternity because they continued in their ways. And look at that. I mean, there's some terrible people in there. There's murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters. But did you notice the first category in that list? The cowardly. The King James Version says the fearful. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't sound right. I mean, some of us would say, well, I'm by nature, I'm a cowardly person, I'm a fearful person. That doesn't seem right. Why would God do that? Well, let's think about that, because there's a lot more to it than you may think. The cowardly will have their part in that lake that burns with fire. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verses 25 and 26. Here we have a very familiar scene that we've talked about a number of times. Jesus is in a boat with his disciples. He is in the back of the boat sleeping. And you know what happens. You've heard this before. A terrible storm arises. It must have been a really bad one because some of the men in the boat are professional fishermen. They have been in their lives. They've been on this sea a lot. They know what storms can be. This one, however, gets them thinking, we're not going to survive. In fact, let's read what it says there in Matthew 8, verses 25 and 26. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now that passage we read in Revelation 21, the word for cowardly or fearful is the Greek word delos. That's the same word Jesus uses here in Matthew chapter 8 when he says, "Why are you afraid?" And why were they afraid? Well, he tells them why they were afraid. "You are still of little faith. You've been around me enough to know that I have great power. You know that I am somebody really special, and yet you think this storm is going to cause us to die, to perish? Oh, you have little faith. Why are you afraid?" And doesn't that give us a clue to why we sometimes are fearful? Maybe we don't have enough faith in what God has said, and that's what holds us back. That's what keeps us from doing what the Lord has told us to do, because we don't have the faith that we ought to have in him. Also think about Matthew chapter 10, another passage in Matthew's gospel that tells us about how fear can really hinder us. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 28. Now, in this passage, Jesus has told his disciples, hard times are coming. You're going to be persecuted because you are my followers. Some of it will be severe. Some of you may actually die for your faith. Can you handle that? And here's what Jesus says in Matthew 10, beginning in verse 28. He says there, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." So Jesus says, when you are confronted with opposition, when people ridicule you because you are a follower of Jesus Christ, does any of that happen today? Is the world becoming more hostile to those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ? So what do? Do we say, "Well, I don't want people to think ill of me. I don't want people to turn on me. I'll just kind of retreat into the shadows. I'll be a secret disciple." Jesus says, don't fear. They can kill the body, and sometimes that will happen, but fear the one who can kill both body and soul in hell. Fear God is what he's saying. And then he goes on to talk about another category of fears. You know, we're not sure how we're going to get our daily necessities. We're afraid if I don't spend more time on the job, I can't stop to help out with this good work. I can't read my Bible more. I've got to be more focused on earning a living. Don't you trust God? He takes care of the sparrows. Not one of them falls to the ground without his knowledge, and you are of more value than many sparrows. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? And if we believe it and then act upon it, fear becomes less of a force in our lives. We're given power and courage to step out when we need to. Fear will not limit us. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, we'll look at verses 5 and 6. Because this is a promise for us. This is a promise God has made to Christians. Listen to what it says. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. "Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Now, what was the connection there? What's the connection? He said, don't be a covetous person, but remember that God has said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Well, the connection is, again, we're thinking, well, I've got to do more work because I've got to provide for myself. If I don't do more of this, then I won't have enough. God says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to provide for your needs. Now, yes, there are times we have to go to our job. We have to attend to the responsibilities of life. That's a given. The Bible teaches us that. But when do we give God time? When do we do the good works that Christians are commanded to do and to tell people about Jesus Christ? Does fear limit us? So again, he says there, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And the point is, well, man can hurt us physically. Man can kill us physically. But we're talking big picture now. Ultimately, what can man do to me when God is my helper, when God is the one who is behind me at all times? And then let's look at another passage in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, and now we're talking about a big fear for some people. And this really keeps them from venturing out and living just so cautiously. But listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, he's talking about Jesus here, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Do we understand that? Through fear of death, subject to lifelong slavery. Yeah, we understand that. We're so afraid. Well, you know, am I going to die? And that's the worst thing that can happen, some people think. Death is not the worst thing that can happen to a Christian, because we know we're in God's hands and everything on the other side is going to be wonderful. He's promised us that. But Jesus came, and by him dying on the cross, he destroyed death. That is, he destroyed the power of death. And now we can live a life free from that great dread. Now, we're still apprehensive about death. Yeah, I'd like to stay a little longer, if you don't mind, Lord. I love this life on earth, but I also know that when I leave this life, it's going to be so good. Not because of who I am, not because of what I've done, because of the one I serve, the one who saved me. It is going to be so good. And I'll be happy when that day comes, because my trust is in the Lord. And speaking about trust, look with me at Psalm 56. If this is not a passage you have penciled in the front of your Bible, you should. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. If you struggle with fear, make sure you get this verse, these two verses in your head. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Now look back at the heading to that psalm. Look at what it says about the circumstances behind its writing. David had been captured by the Philistines. He was surrounded by enemies. These are people that very well could have killed him. And yet, what does he say? When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. I will not be afraid. Now, fear is a gift from God. Yes, we've already established that. But fear can also be limiting. Fears can also be limiting. You've heard about phobias. That's another word for fear, actually. But there's so many phobias that have been identified. Here's three that I'd not heard of before, and maybe you have, but agoraphobia. It refers to a fear of crossing a street. I doubt that anybody here suffers from that, because you crossed a street or two to get here, didn't you? But how limiting would that be? And obviously it is a recognized phobia. I'm not going to cross the street. I'm going to stay right here. Well, your life is very limited as a result. Or hodophobia, the fear of traveling. And again, how limiting would that be? I mean, life is made richer by the travels that we take. You see things you've never seen before. You meet people you've never met before. That would limit us. And then there is philophobia, which I'm told is the fear of love. How limiting would that be? A world without love? I don't want to love you. I don't want you to love me. I'm afraid of it. No. Bring it. We want love. We need more love. Fears can be very limiting. But God has said, here are the boundaries. And above all, here's what we need to keep in mind. And it's summed up very well in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now again, when you consider the context of that statement, Isaiah is about, you're going to be punished. You haven't listened to the Lord. You're going to be carried off to a foreign land and stay there for a long time. He'll bring you back home. But you think about that. That doesn't sound very encouraging. That sounds like times are going to be really hard. And yet in the midst of that, to keep fear from completely overwhelming us, God says, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And yes, that's in the Old Testament. But that's our God, and that is his timeless nature. Whatever covenant you're under, that's our God. Are we going to let fear limit us when we know doing whatever it is we're afraid of is the right thing to do? It needs to be done. Fear has boundaries, and God says, don't be afraid when I've asked you to do something. I'm with you. This morning, maybe you're thinking about becoming a Christian, and yet you're kind of afraid about that. You're thinking, I don't know, not sure if I'm ready for this, or what will people think of me? Forget all of that. Is it what the Lord has commanded? To believe in Jesus as the Son of God? And maybe you're there now. You do believe that. Then surely you can repent of sin. You can say, okay, whatever God tells me is a sin, I'm done with it. I'm turning away from it. That's repentance. And then you confess Jesus before this friendly group, but then also, anytime you're called upon, are you a Christian? Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. I'm not ashamed of that. That's confession. And then Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Mark 16:16. Are you ready for that? And if so, why not today? Don't be afraid to step out and make that decision. And if you've done all those things and yet sin has pulled you back into its fold, it's time to come home. It's time to break free from that sin, repent of it, and pray for forgiveness. And again, don't be afraid of walking those few steps or talking with us afterward. Whatever it is, come now. If you need to come, as we stand together and sing.
God
is calling. God will come without delay. Hear, O ear, calling, calling now for thee. Though you wander so far from his presence, God today. Calling now for thee. Oh.
minds for the Lord's Supper, we're going to sing number 364.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs. Finding our forgiveness here, we enter, forgive our wrongs. He joins us here, he breaks the
Is there anyone here that needs one of these communion cups? Please raise your hand now, and we will get that provided for you. All right. If you would, go and prepare your bread. Take it out, put it in your hand or so, and then go and prepare your cup. To call our attention for a moment to the sacrifice that Christ gave, I want you to think for a moment that He died for us, yes, that is true, but he also died for everyone that ever rejected him. He was rejected in his hometown, back in Luke 4. He was rejected by the Pharisees, the rulers, the scribes, all those important figures of the day. He was rejected by his own countrymen. We find that in Acts constantly stated over and over, but you crucified him, you crucified him. And what those individuals in Acts came to was a decision of either to follow Christ or to not follow Christ. They were all cut to the heart and had different reactions. And today is no different. Today is no different. There are still people today that reject him. But he still died for every single person that has walked the face of this planet, both before the new covenant and after the new covenant, where we're living now. So keep that sacrifice in your mind as we prepare to go to God in prayer. And remember what Christ has done for not just you, but for every single person and the opportunity that he's given them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you most of all for your son, Jesus. So this time we ask that you bless this bread that represents the body that he gave freely. Father, as we call to remembrance the sacrifice that he gave and the life that we now have through him, we pray for those that have not followed him, Father. Father, we love you and we know that you love us. As we partake of this bread, we ask that we do so in a manner worthy unto you. It's in Christ's name. Amen. Let's continue in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you again, asking you to bless this cup that represents your Son's blood, we know, Father, that it is not without this blood that we would have no salvation. If there was no blood sacrifice, there would be no salvation. We know, Father, that there is power in this blood that this juice that represents your Son, Father. This memorial feast that we partake every Sunday, Father, that calls to remembrance him. Father, we ask as we partake it, we do so in a manner worthy to you, that we live our lives just as he lived. And we remember that sacrifice that he gave, not just every Sunday, but every day. That we proclaim the Lord's death every day, not just today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we move into the offering portion of worship this morning, we were driving in this morning and we were talking about the offering and what's the purpose of it and how God loves a cheerful giver and how God is pleased with well-giving because he's given so much to us. This is just a fraction of what we can give back. But what we discussed, and I thought this was very interesting, the comment made, when we deny someone their gift, we do them harm. We rob their joy. But when we give a gift, it increases the joy that we have, right? It increases the gift. So what we're doing now is we're giving a gift back to God, which he will receive gratefully. Not in the sense of gratitude to him, but in the sense of this is already his. We're giving back to him as he's given to us. We've received it with joy, so now we need to give it back with joy. That's where I'm getting at here. So let's make a prayer for the offering. If you have a cash offering or check offering, we have boxes in the back if you're here visiting with us this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us, Father. Our time blessings, our material blessings, Father, and the blessing of your Son. Father, as we prepare to disembark this place, we ask that you bless these funds that will further the will of your church here on earth, Father. We ask that we give cheerfully and we give sacrificially, Father. We ask that you be with us throughout the week and that we give our time and devote our time to studying your word and to reaching out to others and doing your will. Father, we love you and we know that you love us. Forgive us when we fall short. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Would you bow with me again? Holy Father, as we humbly approach you this morning in our prayers, we want to thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your love. While we are blessed individually and as a group, we don't have to look very far to find people that are suffering in one way or the other. God, we pray for you to assist us and guide us in ways that we might show them that we can be loving instruments to help them in their time of need, not only in our community, but our nation and worldwide. Father, we thank you for who you are and your Son's example, as recorded in your Holy Scripture, and we pray in his name, amen. Our God, the amazing creator, reptiles and amphibians. This Wednesday, February 26th, all children's classes ages 2 through grade 6 will be held downstairs in the fellowship hall. All students should arrive no later than 6:55 p.m. to attend all three presentations. Teachers, please arrive by 6:40. Thank you for supporting a fun way to learn about God's creations. Last day to collect your belongings from the lost and found table. The table is located out here across from the elevator. Upcoming events. Digging Deep will meet on Monday, February 24th at 6 p.m. Washed in the Word will meet on Thursday at 10 a.m. Remember these in prayer, and then I'm going to follow that by a special announcement. Ellen B.'s mother, Carolyn, was taken to Holston Valley Medical Center's ER on Sunday evening after passing out. No word has been yet received on how she is doing today. Ava R. is struggling with a respiratory and ear infection and feels miserable. She has asked for our prayers. Ron E., the brother of Joyce Hall, is scheduled to undergo a PET scan this week in Cincinnati, and we would appreciate our prayers. You can check the Daily Focus and information for more prayer requests. Excuse me. A new quarter is approaching. We'll begin the spring quarter classes on the first Sunday in March. And Adam has asked me to remind you, we're looking for teachers for the children's classes. A sign-up list has been posted on the bulletin board outside right here. And please indicate which class you will teach. Before I talk about the visitation program, let me ask you this. Who taught you? I came here in 1974, and I didn't know what I needed. And many people taught me, some of which are still alive, some have passed on. But I am blessed. Who blessed you? If you can teach, you're willing to teach, or even assist, we need you. The Lord needs you. Finally, today, after the morning service, we will kick off the visitation program downstairs from 11:45 to 12. Please see Nick Cunningham for any questions. Is there anything else that needs to be announced at this time? If not, have a grand afternoon. See you this evening, hopefully.